Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success. Well, hello. Hello, Dr. Art. Hello, everybody out there.
Hi, Dr. Chris, out in radio and TV land, too.
That's right. That's right. It's that time again.
Yeah.
And if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Christina Winzi, and with me is Dr. Art Emmerich. And we are very excited to be on again tonight. We have a great topic. We're going to be talking about addictions and how to overcome them or how to recover from them. We'll be bringing both science and practical solutions that will make a difference for you. So we hope you'll call in. I'll be doing after we discuss a little bit, I'll be saying that the phones are open and we'll give you the phone number. So if you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love helping people right on the air. In fact, Dr. Art, that's why we started this show, correct?
Absolutely. We each have clients that we see either on Zoom or in person, but one at a time. And we thought, so we've got, I hate to admit it, almost 100 years of experience between the two of us.
Yeah, and you see the gray?
Yeah, mine's already white. So, by the way, let me just say, the reason I'm not on the screen with Dr. Chris right now is I am enjoying having Bell's palsy right now. So my face is not under my control. And it's a weird feeling. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but they said it was either that you're having a stroke or you've got Bell's palsy. So I got the better part of that one. And but they said it'd take a couple of months to get over. I'm hoping I can, with self-hypnosis, I'm hoping I can shorten that 3 months down to
absolutely.
Maybe even next week, who knows?
That is the goal for sure. Well, so, we started this show because we're very passionate about helping people. And as Dr. Art said, you know, one-on-one, we can certainly help people. But we wanted, because of the stress in the world and what people are going through, we wanted a way that we could provide solutions to various issues, whether it's the incredible amount of stress, anxiety, and fear people are going through, and other issues that come up. We also bring on some guests who are experts in their areas and authors. And so if you're interested in past shows and past guests, we have an archive if you go to our show page. And I want to thank our sponsors, our faithful sponsors, for helping us keep the show on the air. And if you like this show and you get something from it and you feel that it's worthwhile, we do this as a labor of love. We would love for you to be a sponsor. You can go to our show page and for as little as $2.99 and up. So we appreciate our sponsors. Thank you so, so much.
Absolutely. That's that's really what keeps the lights on. So
yes,
hoping that that you'll be able to tune in often and find value in it that you'd like to contribute something for. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. So, Dr. Art, you usually do a tip of the week. And before we get into the topic of addiction, I would love to hear your wonderful tip of the week.
Okay, here it comes. Something for everybody. It's called PLACE, P-L-A-C-E. Hmm. And wouldn't it be nice if you had a place where you could go to, and this is 9 things, and this is a handout if you'd like to have a copy. Place you could go to relieve stress, to get yourself centered, to escape from expectations that people have of you, to calm down, to feel safe and protected, just to relax, mm-hmm. maybe to heal, rejuvenate, recover from something, get some peace and quiet, just retreat from the demands of life. Well, you can have that, and it's as easy as ABC. And I'm going to teach you how to do that now. I call this place the four S's. It's a special place. It's a sacred place. It's a safe place. And it's a secret place. Mm. And I hope it would turn out to be one of your favorite places. It's an imaginary place that you create in your mind by closing your eyes. That's A. B, take a nice, long, slow breath. And C, say a secret name that you give to this place, plus your favorite number, because we don't want just that name. We want the name and the number. That's the combination. And you can say it out loud, or you can say it to yourself. This is an access trigger to this place. It's a post-hypnotic command that you give to yourself that enables you to transport yourself easily, quickly, naturally, and consistently to this imaginary location. And once there, enjoy yourself.
That's awesome.
You can spend as little as 15 or 20 seconds here. And believe me, even that is worth the trip. And here's something my clients tell me a lot. This is a great thing to use when you're in the dentist chair getting ready for a dental procedure. Mm. Just leave your body and go to your place. And it's amazing what it can do. The more often you use it, the easier it is to get there and the more intense the experience is. So please go to your place every day and have some fun time there.
Wow. Love it. Love it. It reminds me a lot of Silva mind control. I know I've spoken of that before, but
yes,
going to that alpha level where you're calming the brain down and slowing the heart and just getting into an altered state, which, yes. as you know, this is what it's all about, is having some control over your emotions, how you experience life, and especially with all the stress going on, to be able to take a few moments to go to this place. That's really awesome.
Yeah, this is in line with some of an underlying theme that we have, that we all have this mind-body system, and it's one of the most complex ones that we know of, and we got here with no owner's manual. So one of the things we're doing is giving you some of the things that would probably be in the owner's manual if there were such a thing, and we want to give you tips about how to get the highest performance possible from your mind-body system.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Art.
Yes.
So tonight we're talking about addictions. And if you have a question and you want to talk to us for laser coaching to get some help with recovery from addiction, you can use a fake name. You don't have to say your name. This is a safe place where you can simply call in. Nobody will know your phone number. Nobody will know anything about you. And we're here to help right on the air. So let's get started. The first thing I want to say is that, you know, there's a whole lot that people don't really know about addiction in terms of the general public. You know, there's a lot of stigma that goes with addiction, and people feel ashamed, they feel weak, they feel as though, you know, why am I out of control? Why can't I do this? Why can't I, you know, stop using whatever it is? Now, my specialty is helping my clients with food addiction and eating disorders, but there are actually five major addictions, and everything kind of falls in those areas. There's food, there's drugs and alcohol, there's gambling and risk-taking, there's workaholism, and that includes kind of stress stress adrenaline addiction, which is very real. If you commute to work and you have a very stressful life, and then there's sex. And, you know, we know that people have a porn addiction or they do affairs all the time. So everything that is related to those, and you know, of course, then there's nail biting and smoking and all of that. There's no end. Shopaholic, you know, it's all about a number of things. There's this whole issue of stress and coping mechanisms, and these are coping mechanisms. But the problem is that these in and of themselves become a whole other problem. So with food, people gain weight or they get so skinny from anorexia that they're almost going to die. With drugs and alcohol, we know what can happen there. Gambling, you can lose your whole life, you know, gambling away your money, et cetera, et cetera. And there's aspects to this that that have to do with the brain. So, you know, when you're under a lot of stress, it can affect how well the nucleus accumbens in the brain is able to perform what's called the brain reward cascade. And some people are actually born with a gene that causes some challenges in that brain reward cascade. So there is no shame. There is no you're defective kind of thing. There are things that can be done to help you reward yourself without using the substance. And there's so much to tell people, but there's environmental issues. There's developing the habits that go with it, the thinking that goes with it. So not only is there the physiology and the brain, but then there's all the other stuff that goes with addiction that keeps people locked in. And this is what we want to help people to free themselves from through recovery. And I know very well about this. I started on sugar when I was 14, could not stop eating sugar. Then I was also anorexic. So I would starve myself and I would binge. And then it turned into a binge eating disorder. And literally, like an alcoholic, binging on sugar foods. So one thing we know, Dr. Art, which you and I were talking about before the show, is that sugar and cocaine are on a par. And in fact, sugar is equally, if not worse, than cocaine.
Yeah, because you don't have to have a prescription. It's not illegal or anything. And you can just go to the store and get all the sugar you want and just bring it home and sit and eat it. I had done a little bit of work that I thought was interesting. There's something in the literature called an addictive personality. And there's a lot of of controversy about whether there is such a thing. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to just read some traits here that I thought might be interesting. If you have these traits, the more of them, obviously, the worse it might be, that you're more likely to become, or maybe you already are, addicted to something. Mm-hmm. So the first one is impulsive people displaying impulsive behavior regardless of the consequences. Mm-hmm. Second one, they engage in compulsive behavior, often stating that they cannot control their actions. They're compelled to do this thing. Mm-hmm. Third one, they experience grandiosity or feelings of superiority quite often. Mm-hmm. Four, an inability to deal with anxiety or stressful situations in daily life. And here's where Dr. Chris and I can really bring you some wonderful stress management processes. Five, they have trouble conforming to traditional rules and actions. Six, typically have low self-esteem, although it might not look like that from the outside. Seven, they're frequently in denial. if you say anything to them about it, they'll say, oh no, that's not me, or I don't do that. And the last one, number eight, frequently lack patience. They frequently are very impatient, and kind of high strung, like they're wired up pretty tight. So anyway, if you have some of those kinds of things in your life that you notice, that is leading toward what could be called the addictive personality, if there is such a thing. But it's just something, kind of a caution, if you're on the slide down the hill, don't go all the way to the bottom before you get help for it, because it's not, you don't have to do that. There is help available.
You know, you bring up a really good point, and all of those things are both learned behavior, cognitive behavioral. They are also environmental, and they are also physiological. There are actually brain issues, neurotransmitter, the hormones in the brain that that communicate within the brain reward cascade, that are involved. And the more you use a substance, the more you need of that substance and to feel good. And impulse control is, you know, I understand why you're saying it's controversial, but there are people who have less patience, less ability to control impulses and compulsion. And one wonders, is that because the environment they grew up in caused them to have to always be anticipating? Because when people come from a very dysfunctional, all families are dysfunctional to some degree, but when they come from an abusive family or a family where you never knew what shoe was going to drop, so to speak, you're always in defensive mode. And so you become reactive, and it becomes a vicious cycle. And so, you know, kids can sometimes seem like they're, kids are impulsive because they haven't matured. Some kids are so impulsive because they just are in an environment where they're always having to guard themselves. And it's tragic. It's tragic. And this is where the coping mechanisms come in, which are the substances that help them calm down. Because whether it's kids or adults, the substance actually helps the dopamine and serotonin and the calm and feel good of the brain. And so, of course, you want that thing, because if you're feeling lousy due to the brain reward cascade not working well, you want something to feel good. And so you're going to go for the thing that you know makes you feel good. And then it becomes, as I said, a problem in and of itself. So that's what we want to help you with tonight, is little things that we know work for our clients. There are, you know, it's not all solved in one night and one radio show. Let me just give the phone number so people can call in if they want some coaching, if they want to talk to us, because we would love to help anybody on the air. That's why we're here. So you're listening to the New Reality Show. I'm Dr. Christina Winsey, and Dr. Art Emmerich is here. And you can call in and talk to us if you're in the U.S. toll free, 888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., dial direct 1-323-744-4831. So, Dr. Art, one of the things that you and I were also talking about before the show was that when I work with clients who have food addiction, the first thing is to help them eliminate the cravings. And the only way to do that is to really help them literally detoxify, literally get rid of the foods. You know, it's kind of the thing that they have to push through in the first part of the coaching process, is to get through that phase where we're detoxing their body so that they have a fighting chance. Because if the physical craving doesn't go away, And this is why people with drug and alcohol addiction go into detox. If the physical addiction doesn't go away, handling the mental, emotional, and environmental is almost impossible.
Right. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Bruce Lipton, a cellular research biologist, is really producing some convincing evidence that the environment is just way more important than we ever thought. And so we are not born addicted to anything. You know, right. This is a learned, some kind of reaction or response, really, to the environment. And what his finding is that we have about 50 trillion cells in our body. And if we are, if you put cells into an unfriendly environment, it's like a switch goes off and they go into defensive mode. They shut down and go into protection, defense, avoidance, all of the survival type things. If you take that colony of cells and put it in another petri dish that has a very rich environment, it's like a switch flips over and the cells become open to learning and growth, and they calm down, they perform their functions that they were actually designed to do. And the interesting thing, he says, is they can either be, the switch is either one way or the other. It can't be both. So if you grow up in an environment that keeps you, like you were saying, on edge, and you don't know what's going to happen next, and you're frightened, you get hypersensitive, hyper alert, then all the cells in your body are feeling the same way. And they're not growing, they're not learning, they're not responding well to the environment, until you get into an environment that is a positive one, that is healthy. That's one of the reasons for the safe place, to have a place where you can go to and get escape from whatever may be going on. And they certainly wouldn't want to live there, but temporarily get there. And it's just very important to know that there is hope. You're not stuck, you know, being addicted to anything.
Yes.
And so we'll present some ideas about what you can do.
Well, and what you're saying is so pertinent, because it's not just that you're in an environment of stress, but that causes the cellular environment because of the stress hormones. Mm-hmm. And so now the cells are bathing in this stress hormone, and you know, to simplify the physiology, and this is what makes them react. But
if you've got 50 trillion things that are in stress, you are in stress, and
yes,
you can't be halfway in stress and half not. It's the switch is all one way or it's all the other. So you've got to get into a safe place.
Well, you said, you also talked about the 10 things that you read to us. Mm-hmm. One of the things being denial.
Yeah.
And seemingly very high ego, very, what's the word, overly confident, even though they're truly not feeling that way. And if you notice, whenever you see a movie of a young guy who drinks a lot and smokes a lot, and, you know, or a young gal, they typically display that, you know, they display as if they're God's gift to the world kind of thing. And it's kind of a stereotype, but it's really quite true. And in recovery, one of the most important things is to crack that denial issue. Mm-hmm. Because unless they come to terms with the fact that they've been doing this behavior, taking this substance, whatever it is, and that it's hurting their lives. And this is the 12 steps. This is where Alcoholics Anonymous and these programs come in, and other recovery programs. And so unless you're ready to make a change, and that's the key, you can't make somebody be ready. So if you're dealing with someone in your life who has a serious addiction, you can want them to get well all you want, but they have to want to. And that's the thing. So once they want to, and they admit that they actually have a problem, then they can begin to recover.
Let's take something as simple as smoking. I have people come to me. I don't do a lot of smoking cessation work anymore, but I can do it. And I've found some very, very powerful, successful processes. So one of the first things I do is hypnotize the person. And in a hypnotic trance, well, I'm not speaking to the person's conscious mind anymore. Their right. conscious mind brought them in to see me. So I know that the intent is there. But I want to know what their unconscious is doing about this. And so I will ask, is your unconscious mind ready to give up smoking? And frequently they'll say no. And so right away, the unconscious always wins. So there's no need to go do battle with it, with your conscious mind, because it's not capable of concentrating all the time like the unconscious is. So we have to work with that same idea. And that's why so many people see addicted people have to go all the way to the bottom of the barrel before they acknowledge to themselves. That's the end of the denial, is when you can't deny it anymore. You know, if things are so messed up in your life, you have to say, I guess this is not everybody else. It must be me, you know. And at that point, there's a possibility then for them to recover. We had a very good friend who was a PhD candidate at the University of Michigan. And this is a sad story. His parents found him dead in a crack house and didn't know how bad it was. But for years, he had been saying, I have to take some sort of a drug to stop my mind. I can't turn it off. It's going on, and it's good stuff. I mean, you know, he was a fabulous, creative guy in the educational field, setting up programs in high schools. But that was his way. And so what they suspect is that somebody snuck some fentanyl into whatever he was doing, because he was experienced with whatever it was he was taking in for years, and that he overdosed and didn't know it. So anyway, it can be so sad to lose the potential of people like that could have just brought wonderful things to high school kids. And we really want to reach out and get people to start taking action, not wait till it gets so bad that you
it really can be quite tragic. And that's what we want to prevent, is the loss of life. And, you know, right now with the whole COVID issue and lockdowns around the world, and the stress that people are going through, addictions and family violence and all kinds of things are going through the roof. So suicides, the tragic suicides that, you know, people need support, and people need to have a way of helping themselves, even though, you know, you can get support from someone like me or like you, Dr. Art. This is why we want people to learn these things. And we have free handouts that we will be happy to give anybody who wants them. One of the techniques that I use, oh, let me just say how you would get them, is you would email contactnrshow@gmail.com. Contact N as in new, R as in reality, show@gmail.com. We have loads of things to share with you if you would like them. What I use, aside from NLP, which I know you're going to talk about, Dr. Art, I use NLP, but I also use a technique called emotional freedom technique. And we had a show about that, and we talk about it often because it's a very powerful way to cut the stress response almost immediately and to feel better without taking a substance. And so, you know, there are many mind, body, spirit techniques, and you gave this beautiful one of the place, the safe place. And they're just, this is why, you know, if someone really, really wants to get well, there are so many tools that can be used to help yourself. So contact nrshow@gmail.com. Free resources we would love to give you. Meanwhile, if you would like to call in and get some laser coaching right on the air with us right now, if you would like to ask a question and get some help, again, if you're dealing with an addiction and you don't want anybody to know your name, just give a fake name. Nobody will ever know. So we're here at 888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., you would dial direct 1-323-744-4831. So you're listening to the New Reality Show with Dr. Christina Winsey and Dr. Art Emmerich. And okay, so Dr. Art, talk about NLP and how you help people with habits and addictions using NLP, because you talked about that before the show. There was a specific thing. I was talking about how I help people with food addiction and that the detox process. And I just talked about it now. And you mentioned helping people to like foods that are good for them that they didn't like before.
Right. There is an NLP process. And before we get to that, just a little word about what NLP is. The N stands for your neurology. That's your five senses. We can't transfer total raw sensory data from one person to another. We have to convert that to words. And words really lose a lot of the impact. So we try to get back to the sensory data level of information rather than relying on the words. And the P is programming. We program ourselves to do things by organizing these sensory impressions that we have. So one of the things that was discovered, for example, is that our five senses have subcategories, and they're called submodalities. So if you like a certain food, there is a checklist that we could run through to say, what is it that tells you that you like that food? Is it the way it looks, the way it feels in your mouth, the way it tastes, the way it, you know, exactly what is it? And so we make notes of those and find out what those qualities are. Each one of the, so for example, if you think of that food, tell me what it looks like. What color is it? What shape is it? What size is it? When you see it in your mind's eye, is it close to you up in front of your face, or is it far away from you? Is it over the left or over the right? And you'd think, well, what difference does all that stuff make? Well, that is the way you know you like something, is it meets those criteria. So we make a list of all those things that say, you know, does it have a sound? As you think about that food, is there any sound associated with it? Is there any smell associated with it? Some taste, you know, the salty, sweet, sour, bitter. We make a list of those. And then we do something quite opposite and say, is there some food that you absolutely cannot stand? It just almost makes you sick to think about it. Well, let's get the characteristics of that. And what you find out is the characteristics of that quite different. And we've got two lists now. Here's the like list and here's the not like list. And what we do is teach you how to take that food that you're addicted to and superimpose those I don't like this qualities on top of it. Change the parameters you've been using when you think about that food. Now it brings up another. And it uses triggers. Triggers are very important to all of our behaviors. How do you know when to start eating? How do you know when to stop eating? You know, that's all triggered by something. A lot of us eat by the clock, you know. Well, it's noon. I guess it's lunchtime. I'll go eat lunch. You may not be hungry at all. Or everybody else at work is going to lunch now, so I guess I better go too. And it's just a group thing, you know, and it has nothing to do with your personal interest in it. But so we have all these overriding factors that tell us when to do things, we peel all that down and get it to the point where you eat what you want, when you want to eat it, and do it very comfortably. You don't ever feel like you're giving up anything. NLP has a underlying thing that says always increase choice. And so we figured out a way to give you some choices about, well, if I don't eat that, what are at least three? You have to have at least three choices to really say I have choice. So what are those? And then we give you, that's called substitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people feel like, well, if I cure my dependence or my addiction to that food, maybe I'll just put another food in there in place of it.
Mm.
It's like I'll substitute one addiction for another addiction. Thankfully, that doesn't seem to be the case. You don't just move it over to another one. And so that's a way that we have processes for changing like to dislike. We can also change dislike to like using those submodalities of how you register that information in your own mind-body system about, I know that I like this because, and then you do it, or no, I don't like this because, and we just scramble those up so that liking thing that you want to give up doesn't work anymore.
Is that something very simple that somebody could do on their own, or do they need you or me, someone to help them? Because
That one's a little more complex to do by yourself.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
taking the notes and making sure you cover all the bases and everything. It's a little bit more sophisticated, but it's very, on the other hand, pretty simple and straightforward. It really goes right to the heart of it. Is you know that you like something because it meets certain characteristics of how it looks, how it tastes, how it smells, how it feels. You know, all of these things, how it sounds.
Well, what I might suggest for people to do this at home is, and you know, the easiest example is food, because we can't do it with the other the other addictions as well. But if you like crunchy, if you like creamy, if you like you know, salty. I don't know. Some people love savory more than anything else.
Right.
And so if you like crunchy, would a cucumber solve the crunch? Would popcorn instead of, or a carrot? Mm-hmm. And typically people say, well, no, because it doesn't have all the other qualities of the reason I like the, you know, the fried food that's crisp. So it takes a little bit of work to figure this part out, but yes, the qualities of the food that you're addicted to have a lot to do with wanting that food and the experience of that food. One of the things that I learned from Deepak Chopra, he has a whole different way of handling addiction recovery. Mm-hmm. And he, in his, what I don't know if it still exists, it probably does, but in his, he has a place that people can go to recover, and they do massage. They do all kinds of physical and mental and emotional pleasure there, you know, bathing in warm, a warm, I don't know, what do you call it? Hot tubs, getting massage, getting reflexology on your feet. Some people love their feet done, you know, and yoga and anything to increase the use of the body for pleasure, not sex. I don't think that's happening at the, and he, I remember listening to an audio of him talking about it, and he also has them listen into their body of what are my lungs saying when I take a smoke, when as the smoke comes into the lungs, what's going on? Because what happens with addiction is that we go absolutely unconscious and we're just doing the addiction because it will, you know, make me feel better, and I remember when I used to binge that it was, I would eat at an alarming rate because I just wanted to get the food in there. And I enjoyed the taste to some degree, but half the time, you know, it was the act of eating that I just needed to do. And then all of a sudden I went, holy crap, I ate the whole box. How did that happen? So he slows you down to experience what it's like. He doesn't stop you from doing the addiction. He has you actually experience, what are my lungs feeling? What are, if they could talk, what would they say? So it's very interesting, his whole approach. And it's because I think a lot of people, when they think about giving up their substance, they get scared and it's natural to get scared of giving up the thing that's going to make you feel better and has been making you feel better. I remember when I was in the throes of the addiction that I felt like I would die if I couldn't have my binge food. Literally. I mean, it was the thing that kept me going. And I've had clients who, one in particular I remember quite well, is that she literally needed every 20 minutes to go and get food. And then she could concentrate again on her work. And when we took the food away, in other words, if she didn't take that break at 20 minutes and didn't have something in her mouth, then she couldn't go back and focus. She literally could not concentrate. So we had to substitute healthy foods at the 20 minute mark so that she at least had the opportunity to eat something. And
there's also a profound impact of language. We talk to ourselves all the time, and the language that we use can begin to undermine the addiction. So instead of saying my addiction, it's that addiction.
Yes.
So you dissociate yourself from it. In smoking, I have a saying that I want people to use is, I am now a former smoker. So this is not denying that they ever smoked and pretending like it never happened or anything. It just says, yes, I used to smoke, but now I'm a former smoker. Like I used to believe in Santa Claus, but now I don't. Or the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, whatever. So we can change the way we look at something. And as soon as you distance yourself from it in the language you use, this gets back to your identity. Some people say, I am my cigarettes, or I am my potato chips, or whatever, you know, they are so closely identified. And when you can get them to push that away linguistically, that potato chip, not my potato chip, or, you know, it's that over there, not in here. And the language itself begins to create new neural pathways that when the trigger triggers, it leads to a different place. And that's exactly what we're looking for. We want to interrupt the old pattern and put a new pattern in place of it that leads you to where you want to go.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. There's so many little tricks and tips and things that you can do to help yourself. Things like these things that you're bringing up, Dr. Art, are so pertinent. I always had to teach myself to get up off the couch and get away from the television. If I were in front of the television, the association between watching TV and eating was so ingrained as part of the habit. that if I was watching something and I was trying to fight off a binge, I literally had to just turn the TV off. And that brings me to this moment in your life when you realize that I do have that window of choice, and you have to want to make that choice, you know, and where this gets back to getting out of denial and really embracing the fact that, yes, I have a problem. Yes, I need to change. Admitting that you need to change, and hopefully not going so far down the barrel to the bottom that you know, your life is ruined before you make a change. But when you're in the process of change and you're fighting the urge to do the behavior, take the substance, there is a window of time that you can make the other choice. And I used to know that window. Now it's, you know, by the grace of God, I've been in long-term recovery. So now I'm just normal around food. But I remember I would be standing in the aisle at the grocery store. I couldn't move because I had the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. And I really wanted to buy that cookie box. And the angel was saying, no, just leave. Or, you know, I was sitting in front of the TV and my mind was going, oh, I want these potato chips. And I had that window where I had to make that choice that I was not going to do it. And therefore I had to change what I was doing. And that goes with NLP, where you are changing. I often do this with clients, Dr. Art, you probably do too, where they're stuck and they're thinking a certain way, talking a certain way. And I say, I want you to get up and go to a different chair. Mm-hmm. And you're going to leave that mindset in the chair that you were in, and you're now going to be the observer of yourself in this other chair.
And it's amazing what some strategies like that can just change. I think that the wonderful thing that happened to you, if it could wish it for everybody, is realizing that there is a choice window available. Yes. A lot of people say, well, I don't have any choice. And so you have to teach them, oh, yes, you do. There is a point when there's a trigger of something, like for you, it sounds like TV was a trigger. Mm-hmm. And so that has been triggering X behavior. And so turn it off, you know, don't have those foods in the house anymore.
Right.
If you've got to get up and go all the way to the store to get them, it's a lot less likely to happen than if you just walk over to your refrigerator or something. Here's a technique that I think people might enjoy using too. It was developed by Richard Bandler, one of the co-developers of NLP. And he presented the idea that he said, if you have a troubling emotion that's causing you difficulty, or some feeling that you have that you don't want, he said, emotion. That means to him that it must be moving in your body somewhere in some direction, that if it weren't moving, you'd never know it was there. It has to move for you to even sense it, this emotion, whatever it is. So he said, if the emotion is fear, if it's craving, if it's whatever it is, this feeling, I have to eat, you know. So that feeling, where is it in your body? And he said, most of the time it's in the core. It's from your shoulders down to your waist or something, you know, that could be in your arms and legs and head and different places. However you, wherever you identify its location, then sense, so how is it moving? Is it swirling around from right to left? Is it swirling around from left to right? Is it rolling up your spine and out to your chest and then down the front and back to your spine and up again, kind of rolling outward, like out of your mouth? Or is it rolling inward, up your stomach and chest and into the backbone, moving down the backbone, out to the front? Now, so once you discover that location and direction, The next step is to reproduce that in your arms and hands. So you literally, let's say that the emotion that you were having trouble with was one that was going up your spine and out to the front and down the front and then back to your spine. So it's kind of this rolling over. So you reproduce that motion with your hands. You just get both hands out in front of you and you move them in a circle of bring your hands towards you, up and then out and then down and back towards you and up and out and down like that. So that right away, now you have dissociated that emotion from your body. You now have it out in your arms and hands. So that alone lessens the impact of it. The next thing you do is you suddenly just stop that motion. That is called a pattern interrupt. And it's something we use all the time. We want to interrupt the bad patterns that you have, and we have to stop them in order to do that. The next thing you do is move your hands now in the exact opposite direction. So now you're going up in toward yourself and down, and then out and up and in toward yourself and down. It's the exact opposite of what you were doing before. The next thing you do,
Dr. Art, do you have I don't mean to interrupt you, but do you have a handout for this?
Because I do have, yeah.
Okay.
So you pull that back into your body where you got it from. Next step and last step, you laugh as hard as you can. Laughter is a negative emotion destroyer.
Yes.
So you have done, and just by that simple, where is it? How's it moving? I'll reproduce that with my hands and arms. Then I'm going to stop. Then I'm going to do the opposite thing. I'm going to pull it back into my body where I got it from, and I'm going to laugh as hard as I can. And the more you do that, the more you will absolutely diffuse that emotion from having any impact, or that craving or that whatever from having any impact on you. Very powerful, very simple, and I do have a handout on it.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, that's awesome. Sometimes it can seem a little confusing when you're just saying it and they don't have something to follow along.
Right.
But so if you would like any free handouts that we have, any techniques that we have talked about, not just on this show, but on other shows, you can get them by emailing contactnrshow@gmail.com. That's contact N for new, R for reality show@gmail.com. And that's very powerful. I think what people really don't realize is how much they have physicalized the feelings and the emotions. And this brings up something we talked about on another show also. And it's neural nets. And we talked about how neurons that fire together wire together, causing a habit, because they if you imagine that these are neurons in your brain and they're connecting to cause you to keep doing something that has become habitual. This is how you learn to play the piano, learn to drive, learn to write, learn to do whatever it is that you become proficient at. Eventually your subconscious mind takes over because the neurons are already in a neural net. And this is about the brain plasticity. So we did talk about that. You can change those neural nets. We're running out of time. I hate when we run out of time. I do want to say that next week is October the 8th. And we will be inviting Adam Hall, an author and an expert, a futurist, just a really interesting entrepreneur who has a lot to share. I'm really looking forward to having Adam on the show. And Dr. Art, it's been another amazing time to share with you and share with our audience. And thank you so much for everything that you do and all that you contribute.
Absolutely. One really quick one, Dr. Amy Cuddy, you can see her on, she did a TED Talk, and you can look up her name. She found out that the simple act of raising your hands up over your head, what she calls the winner's pose, seems to be something that is genetically programmed into us that we don't have to learn. That what does a person do? And you can see them on TV all the time. They just won something, won a race, they won a tournament or whatever. They put both hands up over their head and maybe jump around and thing. But she said, if you will put your hands over your head and hold them there twice a day for about a minute, 1 or 2 minutes each time, that will flood your entire mind-body system with all the feel-good chemicals. And it will change your mood and change the way you look at the world, how you feel about things, your optimism, and everything shoots up. And it's not intellectual at all. It's sort of somehow programmed into our neurology. Put your hands up, be a winner, and you will be acting like a winner.
Oh, I love that. Yes, I remember you telling me about that. It's awesome. And please, if you want any of our techniques and things, just contact nrshow@gmail.com. As I said, next week will be author Adam Hall with his book, Divine Genius, and his he's got some really interesting things that we're going to talk about. So I hope you'll tune in. Once again, thank you to our sponsors. If you've gotten really great benefit from this show and you really are interested in coming back, we hope you will. We also invite you to be a sponsor, and we're very grateful for anybody who becomes a regular listener and shares the show with other people. We're just so grateful to be able to help people. So with that, Dr. Art, I think we are just about done.
Good. Well, happy October.
Happy October.
The final quarter of the year.
Yeah.
Here we are.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.